Hey guys, Brandon Julian here. I'm the host of the Update with Brandon Julian podcast. Speaking of podcasts, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps that people like to listen to? How do I make money from my podcast? Well, the answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And the best part of all of it? It's 100% free, and it's ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by recording this ad. What I personally love about Anchor is that it allows me to record my show from anywhere, whether I'm here in the studio at Kingsborough, or whether I'm on the road reporting from Washington or any other part of the city. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start to join me and a diverse community of podcasters that are already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Good afternoon from Fort Tryon Park. On the update this Wednesday, the mayor says that the rising virus infection rates outside of the New York metro area show that other states may be reopening too quickly. Meanwhile, the city's normally round-the-clock subway system shut down for cleaning earlier today. We'll have the latest details. The objection is sustained. A federal judge says that the New York Democratic presidential primary must take place on June 23rd because canceling it would be unconstitutional. Judge Annalisa Torres ruled that there's enough time before the primary occurs to figure out how to carry it out safely. What's popular? Community fishing. Families and fishermen are heading to community lakes as an outdoor inlet during the pandemic, while countless federal, state, and county waters have been deemed off-limits. And one parent has finally hit the breaking point. A Dallas hair salon owner is now in jail after she continued to operate her business despite the shutdown orders that were in place. A judge found Shelley Luther in contempt of court. This is the update. Wednesday, May the 6th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Wednesday to you, Brandon Julian, the host of the update. Podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop takes us a little bit further north to Fort Tryon Park. We are near 190th Street. I forget which neighborhood this is, but we're near Inwood. I know that. Normally, I have some type of beat. Of what neighborhood I'm in, covering each day. We're in the Fort George section of Manhattan today. Thank you, Google Maps. We have a lot of news to get to this Wednesday, including the latest coronavirus, the latest virus developments. During his daily briefing today, Mayor de Blasio said that the rising virus infection rates outside of the New York metropolitan area show that other states may be reopening way too quickly. Meanwhile, the city's normally round-the-clock subway system shut down for train cleaning and disinfecting earlier today. The trains are now scheduled to stop from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every day, but if you are on a train at 1 a.m., you can continue riding on that train until you reach your destination.
Police officers escorted people out of the Coney Island station in Brooklyn and told them that they would have to board buses. The NYPD has assigned more than 1,000 officers to secure many of the system's 472 stations, but as fewer than 200 of them can be physically locked up. The objection that many people had about the New York Democratic presidential primary being canceled, that objection has now been sustained. A federal judge says that the primary must take place on June 23rd because canceling it would be unconstitutional. Judge Annalisa Torres made the ruling yesterday. She heard arguments a day earlier as lawyers for the withdrawn presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders and Andrew Yang, argued that it was wrong to cancel the primary. The judge said that there's enough time before the primary occurs to figure out how to carry it safely. The members of the state's Board of Elections voted to cancel the primary, even though the state was still planning to hold its congressional and state-level primaries on June 23rd. They cited the virus as a reason to cancel the election, since Joe Biden is now unopposed. There's a new analysis by the Associated Press that shows that some of the least populated states with relatively few virus cases received an outsized proportion of the $150 billion in federal money that was designed to address virus-related expenses. When measured against the number of positive virus tests, the gaps are extreme. The small states as whole included more than $2 million per positive test in Hawaii, Wyoming, and Montana, and nearly $3.5 million per test in Alaska. By comparison, New York, by far the hardest hit state, received about $24,000 per positive test. States are now lobbying Congress for another round of help. Down in Dawson in Georgia, as the world's attention, of course, was fixated on the horrors in Italy and here in the city, the per capita death rates in counties in the southwest corner of Georgia quietly climbed to among the worst in the nation. A couple of 30 years died just days apart. The cemetery on the edge of town staggered graveside visits, one visit an hour. The county ordered an emergency morgue. The devastation, of course, is a cautionary tale of what happens when the virus seeps into communities on the losing end of the nation's most intractable inequalities. These countries are rural, mostly African American, and poor. In the state capital in Albany, Governor Cuomo said during his daily briefing yesterday that the national debate over when to reopen outbreak-ravaged economies boils down to the value that is placed on people's lives. The governor made the argument as the political pressure is intensifying. To relax restrictions, keeping the people at home and off of the job. Cuomo has opted for a slower approach that will allow parts of the state to phase in economic activity later this month if they meet and maintain benchmarks. Cuomo claims that his plan avoids the trade-off between economic and human costs because it will be controlled by officials constantly monitoring fatalities and hospitalizations. We led off yesterday with the public transit systems. They've been typically marked by jammed buses and trains, and now they're grappling with the exact opposite, disappearing riders. Some systems are reporting subway ridership of less than 10% of the usual demand, as fears of the virus and stay-at-home orders have riders abandoning time-worn methods of navigating cities. And while agencies say that public transit is still critical to keep to help doctors, nurses, and medical workers get to their jobs, no one is exactly sure when riders will begin returning in larger numbers and how. A $25 billion federal aid package is helping some systems maintain service in the meantime. A group of U.S. senators is now seeking an investigation into the Department of Veterans Affairs' oversight of homes for aging veterans amid a spate of virus deaths at the state-run homes. The senator Senators yesterday asked the Government Accountability Office to look into the VA and states' roles in ensuring veterans get proper care at the homes. They also want to know whether the agency or states have a system to, quote, capture real-time spikes in mortality rates. Their request is coming as outrage continues to build over the death of more than 70 veterans sickened by the virus at a home in Massachusetts. And of course, it's always been difficult to be homeless here in the city. But for many, it's been tougher and scarier now because of the pandemic. And for those that are living in the close quarters and the city-run shelters, there's fear of exposure to COVID-19. The city's Department of Homeless Services has identified more than 650 cases and more than 50 COVID-19 deaths among the 17,000 single adults in its shelter system. For the estimated 3,500 homeless New Yorkers living on the streets, worries about the disease are coupled with other indignities. With so many closures of coffee shops, rehab centers, and even the restrooms at Grand Central, it's harder than ever to find a bathroom or find a place to take a shower. There is other news of this Wednesday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive and also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by New York State and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Wednesday. Across the river from us in Jersey City, in New Jersey, authorities say that a woman here from the city was driving drunk when she caused the chain reaction accident that critically injured a police officer. Amandeep Tiwana, of course, was initially charged with assault by auto following the April 28th crash on Route 139 eastbound in Jersey City. But Hudson County prosecutors say that charge was upgraded yesterday when the 27-year-old Queens resident was also charged with driving while intoxicated, according to the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office. Authorities have said that Tijuana's vehicle was approaching an accident scene around 1 a.m. when it struck a road divider and a Port Authority police officer. And we've learned that American mezzo-soprano Rosalind Elias has died at the age of 90 from congestive heart failure. She created roles in a pair of Samuel Barber world premieres and made her Broadway debut at the age of 81 in Stephen Sondheim's Follies. Elias sang 687 performances of 54 roles at the Metropolitan Opera over 42 years. Her manager, Robert Lombardo, says that she died on Sunday. Born in Lowell, Massachusetts, on March 13, 1930, Elias was among 13 brothers and sisters whose parents came to the U.S. from Lebanon. She listened to the Metropolitan Opera's Saturday afternoon radio broadcasts when she was young. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Wednesday from Fort Tryon Park, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. Then we're going to talk some sports about how families and fishermen are heading to community lakes as an outdoor inlet during the pandemic. We'll talk about some things that happened on this day in history. And then we will talk the latest national news, including how just a day after the president said that the COVID-19 task force will be winding down, the president says we'll now continue indefinitely, but it'll have a different focus now to rebooting the economy. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive and also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running every 20 to 30 minutes. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, A, C, D, E, J, N, Q, or R trains.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
Let us talk some sports on this Wednesday. While planning to still play a full regular season schedule, the NFL has formulated a ticket refund plan for canceled games or those that have to be held without fans. In a memo sent to the 32 teams by Commissioner Roger Goodell and obtained by the Associated Press yesterday, a uniform baseline for full refunds on any tickets purchased directly from the clubs was prepared. As for the secondary market, the league received pledges from Ticketmaster and SeatGeek to make full refunds available for all ticket sales within no more than 30 days of the cancellation. StubHub, however, will do so only where required by state law. Each team will communicate directly with its fans over the next few days with specific details on potential refunds. The NFL will reveal its 2020 regular season schedule tomorrow night. The 2020 season is scheduled to kick off on September 10th with the first full weekend of games on September 13th through 14th. And finally, out west in Chandler, Arizona, families and fishermen are heading to community lakes as an outdoor inlet during the pandemic. But countless federal, state, and county waters have been deemed off limits. But many community lakes are open and still being stocked. The lure has been too much to resist for fishermen and families. Fans say it's a perfect activity for social distancing. And searches for how and where to fish have increased in recent weeks. The website for the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation has an interactive map showing what's open in every state during the pandemic. When we return on the update this Wednesday from Fort Tryon Park, we will address what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk national news, including how astronomers have discovered the closest black hole to Earth. It's so close that its sister stars can be seen with the naked eye. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know where your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop is at Fort Tryon Park in the Fort George section of Manhattan. I've never been up here before. Same thing with Roosevelt Island, where we were a couple of days ago. I've never physically been up here before, but it's a beautiful place. It's the first stop on the M4 bus and also on the M98 Limited. The subway is down the steps from where I'm sitting. no, but it's a lovely, quiet little place. I guess that's the one thing about having all your shows on the road. You get to explore places that you've never really been in before. Good for me. Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this May the 6th. The highlight of his day came in 1915 when Babe Ruth hit his first major league home run as a player for the Boston Red Sox. In 1863, the Civil War Battle of Chancellorsville in Virginia ended with a Confederate victory over Union forces. In 1882, President Chester Alan Arthur signed the Chinese Exclusion Act, which barred Chinese immigrants from the U.S. for 10 years. Arthur had opposed an earlier version with a 20-year ban. In 1910, Britain's Edwardian era ended with the death of King Edward VII. He was succeeded by George V. In 1935, the Works Progress Administration began operating under an executive order signed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. In 1937, the hydrogen-filled German airship Hindenburg caught fire and crashed while attempting to dock at Lakehurst, New Jersey. 35 of the 97 people on board were killed, along with a crewman on the ground. In 1941, Joseph Stalin assumed the Soviet premiership, replacing Vyacheslav M. Molotov. Also, comedian Bob Hope did his first USO show before an audience of servicemen as he broadcast his radio program for March Field in Riverside, California. In 1942, during World War II, some 15,000 American and Filipino troops on Corregidor Island surrendered to Japanese forces. In 1954, medical student Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile during a track meet in Oxford, England, in 3 minutes, 59 seconds, and 4 milliseconds. In 1960, Britain's Princess Margaret married Anthony Armstrong Jones, a commoner at Westminster Abbey. They divorced in 1978. In 1994, former Arkansas state worker Paula Jones filed suit against President Bill Clinton, alleging that he had sexually harassed her in 1991. Jones reached a settlement with Clinton in November of 1998. Also, Britain's Queen Elizabeth II and French President François Mitterrand formally opened the Channel Tunnel between their countries. In 2004, President George W. Bush apologized for the abuse of Iraqi prisoners by American soldiers, calling it, quote, a stain on our country's honor. He rejected calls also for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's resignation. And in 2013, kidnap rape victims Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight went missing separately about a decade earlier while in their teens or early 20s, were rescued from a house just south of downtown Cleveland. Their captor, Ariel Castro, hanged himself in prison in September of 2013 at the beginning of a life sentence plus 1,000 years. When we return on the update this Wednesday from Fort Tryon Park, we will address the latest national news, including how one parent finally hit the breaking point. A Dallas hair salon owner is now in jail after she continued to operate her business despite the shutdown orders that were in place because of the pandemic. We will address that and more when the update with Brad and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Okay, men,
This is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're gonna go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You gotta dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Did you miss a live edition of The Update? Be sure to check out The Update podcast. Get local, national news, sports, an honorable mention, and more in 15 minutes or less. Search for The Update with Brandon Julian on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Also, check out The Extra Update after each show on Facebook Live and IGTV for a headline check and another look at the exclusive WKRB forecast.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop for Tryon Park in the Fort George section of Manhattan. Let us talk some national news now this Wednesday. We begin in Washington, where just a day after saying that the COVID-19 task force will be winding down, President Trump said that it would continue on indefinitely, but instead just focus on rebooting the economy. Trump's reversal in a tweet today comes as deaths in New York and the epicenter of the virus are declining, but they're rising in the rest of the United States. A White House official acknowledged this morning that signaling that the task force was preparing to shut down sent the wrong message and created a media firestorm. The official said that the membership in the group would change as the nature of the crisis evolves. Meanwhile, astronomers have discovered the closest black hole to Earth. It's so close that its sister stars can be seen with the naked eye. Today's announcement backs up the theory that there are lots of these small black holes in our galaxy, but we just don't see them. Black holes usually can only be seen if astronomers spy star stuff falling into them. But most of the time, nothing is close enough to fall in. The newly discovered black hole isn't close enough to nibble at its two sister stars, but it is warping one star's orbit. And that allows astronomers to find it. Let's go to Dallas, where a hair salon owner there reached her breaking point. She's in jail now after she continued to operate her business despite the shutdown orders that were in place because of the pandemic. A judge found Shelley Luther in contempt of court and sentenced her yesterday to 7 days behind bars. Luther said that she had to reopen her Dallas salon because she wouldn't have been able to feed her kids otherwise. But Judge Eric Moy says that Luther expressed no contrition, remorse, or regret for her actions. Luther was jailed yesterday afternoon around the same time that Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced that salons and barbershops can reopen on Friday. And finally, going back to Washington, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is now participating in telephone arguments from a Maryland hospital where she's being treated for an infection that was caused by a gallstone. The court said last night that the 87-year-old justice had undergone non-surgical treatment to benign a gallbladder condition. The court said she planned to participate in arguments from the hospital today. Ginsburg's first question was a lengthy one, essentially saying that the Trump administration, quote, tossed to the wind the requirement in the Affordable Care Act that women have seamless access to no-cost contraceptives. Judge Clarence Thomas apparently was having technical difficulties and allowed Ginsburg and followed Ginsburg with questions instead of going before her. Our thought for today is from Richard Whatley, an English clergyman born in 1787 and died in 1863. Our thought for today is, to know your ruling passion, examine your castles in the air. I'll let you guys ponder on that, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Wednesday, May the 6th, 2020. That is the update on this Wednesday from Fort Tryon Park. I'm Brandon Chu. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. And I'll see you back in some other part of the city tomorrow.